Hello again, basketball gamers, and welcome to episode number 229 of the NLSC podcast. I'm Andrew, with you as always. With me as always is Ben. You may also know him in the forum as Arcane.
Hey, hey.
And two in a row, Ben. It's not our best streak, I have to say, but after our recent run of bad luck with storms and illness and simply not being able to meet up at the right times, our desired times on a Sunday night to record a show, it's not too bad to have two in a row. We're kind of back in our groove.
Yeah, yeah. We're always aware that, you know, things are going to come in all, are going to happen with in terms of real life and that, and some things you can't control. But it's nice if we can get back on Boston Celtics streak. But
we ended up jinxing them, didn't we? With the discussions. they won at least one more. They came back and beat the Mavericks. So I didn't jinx them completely after last week's show. So I'm not taking complete responsibility for it, but at the same time, Celtics fans, I am sorry, because not normally I jinx the Bulls, but they've done it to themselves this year, Chicago. So
I'm not too disheartened about jinxing them. I got my 100 VC for the daily picker thing, So I was happy with that.
Well, let's see who we can jinx this week as we talk about basketball and basketball video games. We'll be talking about the NBA later on in the show, but as always, we'll tip off with basketball video games, which is kind of the main content we do here at the NLSC, after all. And the two games that are out at the moment, well, of course, Playgrounds is, but not much to say about Playgrounds this week, but we do have things to talk about in regards to Live 18 and 2K18 from EA and 2K Visual Concepts, respectively. And we're going to tip things off with the NBA Live 18 patch 1.07, which came out earlier this week, kind of a little bit unexpectedly, I guess. So, there was a bit of a hint before the day before that something was coming through, but then it just came through overnight, or at least it did for us. And patch 1.07 is a fairly significant content update. It includes rosters accurate as of November 15th, which is fairly up to date, Ben, because there hasn't really been any major transactions at least at the time that roster came out. So It got Bledsoe onto the Bucks and made some other transactions there, so it wasn't too out of date considering what had actually happened. Some of the lineups are still a bit out of date. That is a bit of a problem still. But the main thing is we got the updated rosters. We've been talking about that for a couple of weeks. So and you said it yourself on last week's show that you thought that perhaps when the patch came out, that's when we would get the updated rosters, and that's what happened. So that was good.
Yeah, I figure it was two birds, one stone element. You know, it made sense in that case, especially if it was coming pretty well. You know, if they knew the patch wasn't too far away, like if it was another week away, then they probably would have done it then, like in terms of it. So I think it was worth doing it both at the same time, given that they were adding such a big new thing to this patch. So yeah.
And they're also soliciting feedback, as they always are on the rosters. We've got the thread in the forum where we're compiling that. Erica on Twitter mentioned that she's after feedback on likeness, player likenesses, accessories, hairstyles, that kind of thing. So, again, it's something they're doing throughout the year. Is not just updating the lineups and the rosters, etc., but also and player ratings, of course, and the synergy data drives everything as well, but also doing some more updates with likenesses, accessories, and even trying to get new hairstyles into the game. It's, it's always good to see, and it's again, where we're at with roster updates these days, official roster updates, of course. I mean, back in the day with our unofficial updates for NBA Live, we could always put a lot of art updates and such into those.
Yeah.
But official rosters, kind of limited in what they could do, especially on consoles, but now they can push through a lot of new content, as we've seen in recent years, so once again, they are soliciting that feedback, and that's always nice to hear.
Yeah, for sure. And one thing we're about to allude to is obviously the big new mode that they incorporated, the 3-on-3 mode.
Absolutely, and it turned out that wasn't just mere speculation or a wishful thinking, I guess. You know, it had been suggested. It was a pretty good suggestion considering the teaser that we saw with the three players. I didn't want to get my hopes up too much because that's when you really end up disappointing yourself, when you expect to see something and you get really angry at the company for not delivering something they never promised. That is a problem we have as gamers sometimes. But it did turn out to be 3v3, whichever way you want to say it. So that's been added to live run, and it seems like a pretty good idea. I mean, is very popular in my park now, the playground in 2K, to have 3v3, and trying to get a lobby of five players. I've seen people in the forum talking about the troubles getting full squads and not liking playing with AI players, and we can certainly relate to the problems with AI players in 2K Pro-Am, so we know where you're coming from on that one. But yeah, it alleviates that somewhat. It's sometimes easier to get three people together. It's a different game. So, and I haven't had a chance to play it yet. I did play some of the challenges of a bathing ape with 5-on-5, and that was kind of, again, very similar to my previous experiences where I was frozen out and people just taking it in and getting blocked because they're not actually playing team basketball or sensible basketball. So that was disappointing. But you have played some 3-on-3, and how was it?
Yeah, I mean, a couple of times it'll be a similar thing. You might get frozen out depending on who you play. I played about 3 or 4 games. Had probably one good game where it felt a little bit more team orientated. I know I tried like dishing it out a few times, like in terms of trying to get assists and spread the ball and that instead of it just being a ball hog. But yeah, I think it's more. This is a good mode for those who want to kind of do like a little mini squad up in terms of things like, with a couple of mates.
Mm.
I think that's really what this is going to be better designed for if you want that sort of more team basketball element within the 3-on-3, you know, especially if you got someone who can run the point, one who can get the rebounds, and maybe someone that's like a shooter type player or a driver type player. So, you know, I think this will be a fun little mode for a few of us that we could get together and play every now and then. The fact that, you know, we wouldn't have to worry about bodgy AI.
Not that
don't have too much of an issue like with live AI players, because a lot of them are like NBA players or the sort of, you know, they don't have those sort of quirky moments, I guess.
They're not like garbage players like we often get in 2K Pro-Am. I mean, 2K Pro-Am, we get the occasional good one, and then we miss them in the next game when we get the lousy ones again.
Yeah.
But yeah, because you're often getting the real players, which I think would be a great idea for 2K Pro-Am to actually have randomly NBA players inserted in there. I think that would also bring the pro into the Pro-Am concept, but that's a topic for another time, I suppose. But yeah, you're right. I mean, having the 3v3, you don't have to get the five people together. You don't have to put it up with the AI if you don't want to. And it certainly, you know, we haven't had Kenny on the show. We're hoping to get him back on whenever we can, whenever he's got the time. Obviously, with his new job, it's a bit hard for him to get on as often as used to. Us being the self-employed entrepreneurs that we are, perhaps we've got more flexible schedule these days than Kenny does. But yeah, it'd be great to hook up with Kenny to play some games, because he's playing Live 18, obviously, and we are too. The X and Valor are not, so we can't have we don't have a full 5-on-5 squad for the NLSC at this time. So the 3-on-3 would be much better for that.
Yeah, you know, if Kenny's busy a few times, we might be able to arrange getting Mario Cluminati on.
Absolutely, and certainly other people from the community that we know. Yeah. So it's just that little bit easier. It's something different. I think any time you can add depth to a mode is certainly appreciated, and we've talked about the depth in modes. The problem with depth, being a problem in modes in NBA Live, I should say, in recent years, and so any new content they can push through is definitely for the best. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to having a run with that and seeing how it goes with just the 3v3, and again playing with people that I know, so that you can have that team game, because otherwise it's just like playing walk-on. In Pro-Am, where in 2K, where you just, yeah, it's just so, it's not a team game. You've got people hogging, you don't have that, the ball's not moving, it's just people basically getting the pass, and, you know, you're trying to play a team game, but you're not getting the ball back, and basically, and it's just people driving in and getting blocked, or putting up bad shots, and we've seen that in Pro-Am walk-on many times, and that's been my experience a little bit in Live as well, with the live run events. But it is good to see that in the game. So congratulations to everyone who speculated on that and came up with it, because they were totally right about it. So I'm glad that they were right. And, of course, you can create private 3v3 matches as well. So, again, all that functionality is good. The patch also fixed some issues with reward crates, a few bugs that were there, and also player creation. Fixed an issue where Carmelo Anthony's jump shot was not unlocking for creative players with a 79 shot off the dribble rating. Fix an issue where all the players' objectives will be reset after restarting a match within Pro-Am Tour. Fixed Lonzo Ball not using his signature jump shot in live Ultimate Team games. I know you're excited about that. Updated the rosters, of course, and also some jersey numbers were fixed at the same time. and also some general stability fixes and improvements. And we'll talk a little bit about that more in our week in basketball gaming later on in the show, but I've played some NBA Live 18 since the patch came out, obviously, and I have to say that it's feeling pretty smooth at the moment. Like they've continued to really tweak things, and there is still room for improvement, of course, and again, I'll get to that in more detail later, but as they... I'd like to know what they're doing with some of the tuning and everything. It'd be really great for them to put those details out. We've said that before. But these, this generic made general stability fixes and improvements, yeah, I mean, I'd like to know what they are, but specifically at any rate, but I can feel the game getting better here and there. So, yeah, I don't think that's just blowing smoke when they say that.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. Like, the game has felt substantially different since its launch and that, which is really good. Like, the improvements are coming along, you know, and the stability updates and all the improvements that they've made, it doesn't feel like they've had to, you know, that they've caused one error or a couple of problems, and so they have to go back in the next update and tune it. So again, so I'm liking the fact that yeah, they've been really good stability updates where they actually are stable and not breaking the game in that sense. So
it hasn't felt like they've damaged, as you said, that either by creating a technical issue. Haven't really encountered that. Although I did have a game crash in live run the other day. I must have, that could have easily just been a server problem or a connection issue at my end. But as far as the gameplay changing, and that was a big issue in NBA 2K17 last year. Of course, there was no NBA Live game last year, but if you recall what we were talking about many times over playing, for 12 months of playing NBA 2K17, we spoke a lot on the podcast, did we not, about how the game was changing and not necessarily for the better.
Yeah, yeah.
And it hasn't really been an issue with Live 18. So EA has avoided that pitfall and really have just, the tweaks have improved it. And that's, it's commendable because that's easier said than done.
Yeah, for sure. So, you know, they actually look like they are actually testing it and, you know, spending time to be sure before they do release it. So, you know, full credit to the team that are doing that. You know, they're making sure that the quality's there instead of just pumping it out and, you know, within like a day or two of the patch coming out where the community is complaining, oh, this is broken or this is not working like it was, sort of thing. So, yeah, I think it's a good work by the team in ensuring that the work that they're doing is actually all improvement and not having to backtrack and fix up those loose ends from previous work where it's just broken it. So, good work, guys.
So, absolutely. So, I guess since that is patch number 7, and I guess in some respects, you know, I guess we've kind of ripped on 2K for sending through a lot of patches before, so it's a little hypocritical, I guess, to say, oh, when, meanwhile, Live is sending through all these patches, but it does seem that it's a significant update each time. Like you say, the one of the main differences is they're not really breaking anything, whereas with a lot of the 2K patches, each one seems to cause a problem, like a major problem. Yeah. So, yeah.
And we have to take into account, too, that they included a new mode. So, you know, it's not just like entirely all fine-tuning. They included it an entirely new game mode. So, you know, that... there's nothing that we could actually sort of be trollish about that, the fact that they included that into it. So, you know, yeah, I know we did bag, especially last year, how there was 13 patches for, or 12 or 13 patches for 2K17.
Yeah, but depending on the numbering you followed, it was at least, it was over 10, we can say that. It was over 10 with that much we know.
Yeah, you know, we had like, what was it, 2 in like 24 or 48 hours?
Yeah, I think one got pushed through accidentally twice, possibly, with different version numbers. So that also inflated the count. But I think there were legitimately about 10 or 11, at least 10 or 11 legitimate patches last year for 2K17. Okay. It was more than 10. It was definitely more than 10 in space of, well, less than the 12 months that the game had been out. And I'm fine with games pushing through as many patches as needed. It's just, again, the problem with 2K has been that a lot of the patches seem to have caused major issues. It's very rare that a patch has not come through and not... needed a follow-up very quickly, whereas Live has done a... it's very surprising because a game as sophisticated as a AAA title in 2017 to push through an update and not cause problems, I guess there's been some good QA testing in that respect.
Yeah.
It probably should also be noted, I think a lot of the tweaks that happened with 2K come through in those in-game updates as well, you know, the update required. So whereas Live doesn't seem to have that. They have the synergy updates, of course. So a lot of Live's patches seem to be tweaks. The way they're pushing through their updates seem to be a little bit different as well. So I think that's the other difference. But, I mean, that being said, hey, if Live does mess things up, and look, have we not called out the roster as not being updated? I mean, I think we've been pretty blunt about that, so...
And the lack of depth to some of the modes.
Absolutely.
And
so, you know, it's... Well, what can you say? People are going to call you a fanboy or a hater, whichever way you go. So we can just give our honest opinions. That's all we can do. But in my opinion, to wrap it up, it's a pretty solid patch. And to add the 3v3, definitely great. I still wish, of course, we had the roster editing and a bit more depth in franchise. But again, that's probably going to be a next year thing.
Yep. Fingers crossed. That's a definite must for next year.
Absolutely. So speaking of big updates that have been pushed through... this one came through for NBA 2K18, and rather quietly at that. In the rosters, some new players have been added to the historical teams. And this was originally noted by Forbes, by Brian Mazik, over on the Forbes website. 12 new players across both historical squads and the all-time teams as well. And I'll read out his list first, because there's a few clarifications that I need to double-check, as has been pointed out to me in the forum and in the comments section as well on the article. But the players that he's listed as being new additions are Gerald Wallace, all-time Hornets and 2002 Kings.
Yep.
Carlos Boozer, all-time Jazz and the 2011 Chicago Bulls, of course.
Yep.
Danny Granger, all-time Indiana Pacers. Yep. Clark Kellogg, all-time Indiana Pacers. And, of course, he is one of the commentators as well, but former Pacers player. Caron Butler, all-time Wizards and the 2011 Mavericks. Al Harrington on the 2007 Warriors. Stacey King on the 91 and 93 Bulls. Corliss Williamson on the 2004 Pistons. James Posey on the 2006 Heat. Damon Jones on the 2007 Cavaliers. Jared Jeffries on the 2012 Knicks. And Daquan Cook on the 2013 Thunder. So those are the 12 players he listed. Has been mentioned in the forum by Lhead2 that mentions, just for the record, King, Williamson, Posey, and Jones were already on those teams. I'm just looking back at the article that I posted when the all-time teams were mentioned. That's all-time teams, the squads, though. So I couldn't remember if some of those players were already on there. So we might be mistaken about some of those. But in the comments, it's also noted to the 2007 Warriors also added Kalina Azubuki.
Oh, yep.
And Josh Smith. Josh Smith to the all-time Hawks as well. So there's been a couple of changes, obviously, there. I'm just looking at the rosters, just seeing if I can find anything. No, that's all-time teams and talking about historical squads. So I might have to check to see if I've got any saved rosters from early on in the season with that. Those old teams without those players, just to double-check that. But in any case, certainly some new players have been added, whether it's 12 or maybe 8. So somewhere in the vicinity of 8 to 12 players have been added to the historical teams and all-time teams. It's good to see, but obviously, as the article notes, the big omissions continue to be Charles Barkley, Reggie Miller, Moses Malone, and Rasheed Wallace. And Rasheed Wallace is missing from both the 2000 Blazers and the 2004 Pistons, not to mention all-time teams for those squads as well. So it's... And Charles Barkley, all-time Rockets, you could do. Sixers... And Suns, don't know why Kings came into there. Probably because I'm looking at Gerald Wallace on the list there. I do know that Charles Barkley did not play for the Kings before he rushed to the comments. And Reggie Miller, of course, very notable for the all-time Pacers to have. And Moses Malone, again, several teams he could be on the all-time teams for, as well as historical teams there. Yeah, it's unfortunate, but it is what it is as far as their likeness rights are concerned.
For sure.
But at the same time, I mean, it is what it is. You can't include them without... It's not that they don't know about them or respect them. It's because they just can't get the likeness rights. They can't come to an agreement. Obviously, they had that opportunity. Charles Barkley said what he would do, that he would appear in the game free as long as they'd made the donation to the Retired Players Association, which they haven't, I guess. No. they're talking about record microtransaction revenue in last week's show. We mentioned that. I mean, surely that could be put towards the Players Association to get to get those players in the game. I'm sure future games would make even more money with those players in the game, so you could recoup those that payment. Just putting it out there, 2K. But it is good to see, nevertheless. And there was some talk. I remember Caron Butler in particular was mentioned before the game came out as someone they were negotiating with. So it's important that they can flesh those out a bit, especially with a team like the 2002 Kings, where they really don't have anyone.
Yeah.
Like, it was, I think they had 6 or 7 players. And sure, if you can get the starting five, that's fine. It's I think as long as you can get the actual starting five, it's makes sense to include that team in the game. But without at least getting to about 8 or 9 players, it's a bit weak.
Yep, for sure.
So on the plus side, it does show that they are actually adding new players to the game and that it's possible. I'm just trying to think who they did it in the past. Oh, Julius Erving. I think it was 2K14. They added Julius Erving in a... They had a Dr. J in an update after it came out.
Okay.
Because he had to be taken, had to remove from the game because they didn't have his... they didn't have an agreement with him in place anymore, but then they came to terms with him, put him in. And also, back in 2K12, LaFonso Ellis originally wasn't on the 94 Nuggets, and then they added him.
Oh, yep.
So, they actually managed to come to terms with him and add him before the release. And also, for that matter, remember Scottie Pippen was originally a holdout when they did the Dream Team, and then they got him into the game.
Yep.
So, and that was pre-release for that one as well, and 2K12 as well. No, 2K13, that was 2K13, wasn't it? The Dream Team was in the first time. Because that came out in 2012, which would have been the 20th anniversary of the Dream Team.
That's right.
And they had the 2012 team versus the 1992 team then. Yeah, that's right. 2K13. Yep. So it's not unprecedented, and it's great to see. It's because we bemoan the lack of these players, and we know why they're not there, and we can say, oh, well, 2K should be making those donations or whatever to try and come to terms with those players. But at least if we can flesh out some players a little bit, again, you know, it's your Carlos Boozers, your Danny Grangers, your significant players who could belong on the all-time teams and certainly the historical squads. It just makes those squads a little bit more fun to play with because you're not there's one less fake player basically and one real player who was significant to the team. You got to at least make sure the significant guys are there if you can get them.
That's true. The one thing I'm disappointed they didn't add was highlighter pen Boozer or boot polish.
Oh, boot polish Boozer, roll-on hair Boozer, yeah. That was what year was that? I think that might have been 2012 or 2013.
I think it was around that time. So
2011, and of course with the Jazz a bit earlier, he didn't go with the Sharpie just yet. So so that is good to see once again, and we'll see if they add any more players. I mean, do you think they ever will come to terms with... Well, obviously, Moses Malone has sadly passed away, but with his family and Reggie Miller and Charles Barkley and Rasheed Wallace, do you think they can ever get them into the game again? I mean, Barkley was in last year. I think whenever they have the Dream Team in, he appears out of loyalty to his Dream Team teammates, but declines to appear in other capacities.
I think at the moment, unless TK really do put up that offer that he has suggested, and obviously Barkley does live up to it, I think that'll be the only time, like, aside from the Dream Team appearances and that, but whether we see him on, like, the Philly or Houston and stuff, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
No, or Phoenix as well.
I'm a bit skeptical whether... they've had a perfect opportunity to do it, and he's basically called their bluff about whether they want to do it. I mean, it's... And yes, making games is expensive, or maybe not so much. There's certainly a lot of great Jim Sterling videos going around about that argument at the moment, recent months about and microtransactions and loot boxes and everything.
They prefer recurrent revenue now. That's its new term.
Yeah, I mean, you can call it whatever you like, I suppose, can't you? As we said last week, temporary refund adjustment, to quote an old Simpsons episode. But, that's the bottom line, of course, is that they've added those players, 8 to 12, I guess, depending on whether some of those players were in there originally. Again, I forget. I guess that shows you that I haven't been playing too much with them since the first weeks of having the game out. But if they can add some more players as the years go by, and even within the space of a year of release, so much the better. So that's about it for the news this week, which means it's now time to talk about our week in basketball gaming.
It looks simple, but it's hard to execute.
With some of the videos I recorded this week, Ben, I actually will have a new audio clip to put there. But this week, I am going with our traditional clip, or the clip we've been using recently. We're on our second one. Next week, look out for a third one. Well, just find out what it'll be. But we are going to open up our week in basketball gaming talking about a familiar topic. We have been playing a lot of 2K and NBA Live this week, but we are going to start out with 2K Pro-Am and mention that it was not a good run for us this week.
No, especially that Thursday run. That was a pretty horrific run.
We got on for an impromptu session on the Thursday night. I think it was just you and I were going to jump onto some playground, and then it happened to be X was online, and so was Leo Valor,
yep.
and we just ended up having a run and lost every game, and we've been at least going 500 on the night recently. So that it was a particularly tough run to have, and we defeated a couple of elite ranked teams in recent weeks and faced off an elite team, and they just wiped the floor with us. So that wasn't fun. My shot just wasn't falling. I just could not make a shot, and I've changed my form a couple of times, and I've been playing around with different jump shot forms and looking it up in the online, various information about both the shooting mechanics in 2K18 and also different what the most effective jump shots are, and I've been experimenting with it, but I just could not hit a three, and I have been hitting the threes fairly well up until now.
Yeah, the previous week, too, you were hitting them pretty well from memory.
I had a couple of games where I was okay, but then that last game we played on Friday when I think it was three or four in the first half. Three or four from the field, three of three from three. And I just didn't make a shot from anywhere in the second half.
Yeah.
Like, couldn't make a mid-range pull-up, couldn't make many wide-open threes. It was just very, very frustrating. And it's saying wide open, good releases and everything. But I found out a bit more about good releases. Did you get a chance to watch that video from 2K Lab?
No. Oh, damn it. When you posted it, I was out and very inebriated. So, yeah. And today was sort of more recovery and then try and unlock the new attributes that I was trying to unlock the get to grade up enough to in the XP stuff to unlock attributes. So, yeah.
Well, the basic gist of it is that a good release is a perfect release that doesn't count as a perfect release.
So, basically. Like, when I had the free throws that were 100% but weren't excellent, they were good.
Essentially, yeah. Okay. So, there's still, like, an RNG aspect to the green release, apparently, this year. And you've got a 50% chance of getting a green, right?
Or yep.
So for some releases, like 50 to 55% or something in that range of getting a green, which goes in. But if you nail the timing, but if the RNG doesn't come up, that drops to a 5% chance of making the shot. So a good release, if it goes to good, technically has a worse chance of an slightly early or slightly late release.
Wow.
So in theory, you should still be not trying for an early or late release, because if you do nail the green time after time, if you can nail the timing time after time, it will go in each and every time with a green release. But so the way they've done it this year, from my understanding of the video, to prevent people from cheesing the green releases, although clearly some people do based on the videos that I've seen on YouTube of people playing in the park and whatnot, is to have that RNG element to green releases that sometimes if it turns white, so to speak, or if it's the good release, it's actually not, it's a perfect release, it's not perfect, basically, and it drops it, but it drops it to like 5 to 10%. So, I don't like that system. Like, no. I'd almost prefer to have some green releases miss, to be honest. You know, and reduce a green release to a 90% chance instead of 100% chance of going in, as opposed to having a good release that drops to 5%. To me, that doesn't make sense, because that's still essentially saying that if you get screwed over on the RNG, on the random, on the random draw there, that you might as well have released it a worse release, slightly earlier, slightly late. That, to me, that doesn't make sense.
Yeah, it seems backwards and broken.
Yeah. No, I see what they're going for, but I think it's the wrong way around. You know, I think good releases should be, like, okay, well, if that's 55 to 60% chance, green release, 100%. Slightly early, slightly released, the 35 to 40 that apparently is, and 2K Labs have done a fantastic job of working all this stuff out, of course, and very early, very late, If you want to make that 0 to 5% chance, fine. But, yeah, dropping that to 5% on a good release essentially makes a good release, which is to say a perfect release that has been determined imperfect, it makes it worse than a worse release. Again, if I've understood it correctly, that's very silly. That's stupid.
Yeah, for sure. You know, if anything, you know, if it's not exactly a perfect release, you know, then it shouldn't swish or anything. Maybe it should, like, bank off the backboard and ring a bit and potentially go in. You know, that for me, that's what... Yeah, like, I don't know, like...
We've talked about that before, haven't we? That well, certainly while we've been playing, but the idea that green releases bounce around and go in, you'd think a perfect release would be, okay, that's a true shot that's just gone straight down. Unless it's a perfect release and a bank shot, in which case you've perfectly aimed the bank shot, then it's going to touch the backboard, sure. But otherwise, it should just either swish or just clip the rim, you know?
Yeah.
There'll be very little iron on the way through. It should be a true aim, not bouncing around and in. That should be a good release or a slightly off release that happens to be still a lucky bounce because it's still fairly well aimed, just not perfectly aimed. A perfect aim should go in, you know, quite perfectly because that's the whole issue. And like you've had with the free throws, I mean, I think free throw shooting has suffered from it as well, clearly.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You know, the fact that, yeah, you know, you can miss a 98%, you know, and you can swish a 94%.
But this explains why all those good releases on free throws and jump shots are missing. And I'm not really placated by that explanation. I feel more frustrated, to be honest. And I'm sure people can hear that in my voice. That's not good. That's not right. I see what they're going for. I don't think that's a good way to achieve it, though.
Yeah, I agree. I think they need to readjust that. Hopefully, if they can do it this year. If not, obviously for 2K19, because that's not good at all.
Yeah, I saw people in the comments of the video saying, oh, you don't understand. There's a few people trying to defend it. But people saying, no, we understand perfectly fine. We just think that's a really stupid approach. Because in effect, it is still meaning that a good release that is perfect timing but judged not to be perfect through random number generation is worse than a worse release. Getting repetitive here, I'm sorry, but it's just mind-blowing. So to counteract this, you basically have to get a jump shot that you can really nail the timing on time after time and get as many green releases as possible, because a green release will go in. So the point is to get an animation that will work. And there's a few things at play here. There's the base, and depending, the bases have different timing and likelihood of green releases, or green release windows, basically. So it's got to get a base that works for you with the timing and gives you that window to get the green release. And then you've got to get the release form, this is through the jump shot creation, of course, and then get the releases through blending or just using an unblended straight, just using one person's form unblended, or blending two together, so that you get a visual cue and a release timing that you can see and just nail that release window. So, yeah, that's what I've been trying to do, and it's been tough to actually get one that's really, that I've found consistently. I thought I had it with Base 49 and Clay Thompson's shot, but then that stopped working on me, so I've tried a couple of other ones, and yeah, it's been tough to get one that's really been able to get that visual cue down and the timing right, and it's been frustrating, and certainly knowing this about the good releases, again, even more frustrating still.
Yeah, you know, for all those who have been putting effort in trying to get all that timing and, you know, perfect their shot, and how it just constantly feels like it's nerfed or rigged against it, being able to do it, so it's kind of crap, and hopefully it's something that gets resolved. I reckon it needs to be done this year.
So, and of course the other thing here is what role then do ratings play, and is it worth how much we've talked about how in the past how we've updated our ratings and it hasn't really made a difference or even felt worse. Well, does this explain that then, that ratings aren't really that important, which people are putting money into to upgrade their ratings quicker? Just saying.
Yeah.
Because one of the videos I was watching, Dr. 2K on YouTube, shout out to him for his advice on jump shots. He came up with a shot that even worked for his slasher. And we've seen slashers make some shots that must have been green releases. and usually slashers don't have the great outside shooting, as you know. So clearly, maybe I should have made that pure playmaker, frankly, because I don't think making a sharpshooter has really helped me that much.
Yeah, which is, you know, disappointing, because, you know, it seemed like a key role that we needed for our team, and it's not as effective as, you know, well, I guess, I don't want to say it was promised, but it appeared to be, and that's disappointing in that sense.
Well, it comes back to, you know, 2K Lab doing this great work, and I was going to say the word exposing, that's wrong, explaining the mechanics of everything. It goes to show that how much 2K doesn't really explain the ins and outs of the game. And I guess you could say, well, part of the challenge is to figure these things out for yourself, but at the same time, it's unclear, especially since you are building players, that you're spending money to build the players on in some cases, to really say, to tell us how the mechanics work. When you compare it to the shooting mechanics in Live 18, which are much more similar, I think, to the mechanics in 2K17 and 2K16, and Live 16 for that matter, you know, with its shot meter, you know, it's very straightforward mechanics, but there's all this stuff going on under the hood in 2K18 that's, making it feel like what you're doing is not really having an impact. Something else I noticed, again, from 2K Lab, is how the catch and shoot badge works, and that it's sometimes better to pause before actually taking the shot. And that is something that I didn't know. I thought with catch and shoot, you basically had to be in the act of shooting as you catch the pass, like as it's coming to you, get ready to put it up. But if you take that pause and line it up, apparently it works a little bit better. So I'm going to give that a try as well. You know, it's worth knowing these things about the mechanics of the game. And I guess that does make sense, because taking a moment to line up a shot,
yeah,
instead of just putting it up straight away and being too rapid fire with it, but. No, it's good advice. They do some great work with the looking into the mechanics of the game at 2K Labs. A lot of the information about jump shots is behind a paywall. It's a subscription service to get that, but they do put a lot of pretty good information out about that kind of stuff and the bases and also the badges and different caps for all the archetypes that are good on the site as well. So it's definitely a very good resource, and you know, shout out to them for all the work they're doing on that.
Oh, for sure, you know. Yeah, and it was actually something that you were alluding to before in regards to 2K not explaining things. You know, that's something that, yeah, communication on their side does need to improve in terms of how things work and what they were trying to achieve in what they're wanting to do with this stuff. And so that way, you know, there's no miscommunication, there's no, like, what the hell's going on kind of stuff. Or,
sure.
So, yeah, I think that will be something hopefully can be worked on in terms of their side of things in better explaining in future releases.
But with all that being said, and that is something I want to start a thread in the forum to talk about, and we can, I'd like, as I said before, I want to get some more gameplay discussion going in our forum and just be sharing these tips and advice and just talking more about jump shots in the forum. So I'll have that topic out this week. In the forum, so we can get some discussion going on that. But with all that being said, I mean, you guys had some good games even when I was struggling. I was at least getting some assists off you when I wasn't getting the damn cheap interceptions, of course, from the AI, or getting animations where you're getting warped out of bounds or warped away from the pass or whatever. I think I even got a dunk in one of the games, possibly. So that's a rare treat this year. I don't know what's going on with that, but yeah. So we did have a couple of wins, because we dropped a couple of games further below 500, but we did win a couple as well, so we didn't go too far. I think we're only two or three below at the end of our sessions this week. We're only two or three games below 500.
Yeah, I think we are. I think at worst four, but I think it's about that two or three mark.
Yeah, I know we dropped a five at one point, after the particularly bad run, but then we made up a couple as well, so it wasn't too bad, but definitely some frustrating times. But on the plus side, we finally got our win in the playground.
Yeah, it took for me it took 19 or 20th game to get the win. I think it was, so I was go 0-20.
Yeah.
So yeah, I was happy about that.
Yeah, we haven't had as good a run in the park this year or the playground. Is it still getting used to calling it the playground?
Same.
It's still, you know, my park was so much, or the park was so much easier to say. So we got the win. There's a bit of espionage involved, arguably, with because we went into the playground as a four man squad, and there's what, no 4-on-4 this year.
No, it doesn't look like it.
So we ended up three of us on one team, and Val or Leo on the other, and so we ended up beating them in one of the games, and then we got a few wins without any kind of espionage. Well, to be honest, Leo wasn't really sabotaging the other team that much. Like, it wasn't like chucking up from half court or anything like that. It was just, I don't know, not necessarily.
There's probably one play that was, you know, potential sabotage and that sort of thing. And, you know,
to give us first possession of the game, basically. And we messed that up anyway. So it didn't matter at the end of the day. We basically did win. We certainly had a few legit wins, heading back to the playground, of course, in the near future to get the Gatorade money. The Gatorade dollars were wearing the shirt in the playground. But a bit of a decent run of that at the end of Pro-Am. But I think it was definitely after a few weeks of really having a pretty good run in Pro-Am, it's definitely one of our most frustrating, two of our most frustrating sessions, I should say.
Yeah, you know, and I think too, like, because we had that issue where we had an away game and our word mark on our uniform had, like, disappeared in that.
Yeah.
And, like, after that game, I went to try and see if, because I admit, I did some editing to the jerseys, like, a week or two ago, and I was thinking, I don't remember removing the word mark. And then, so I went to quickly go check, and when I went in, you know, the word mark was there on the uniform and that, so it was a weird glitch in that side of things. And then, because of some changes made and all that stuff and saved, just, I saved, resaved the what was already had been saved, just in case it was somehow, might resolve the issue in that, and then went to exit, and that kind of caused a little incident where the three of us had left and X had to play a game solo. and he did pretty well to only lose by three or four, didn't he?
Yeah, he came very close. He was leading a lot of the game, but then our AI counterparts weren't really pulling their weight, as is often the case. It is a shame, because it sounded like we would have had a pretty good run against that team and got some good stats. So it was a shame that we left, and he was away from the controller and didn't realize we were quitting out. And of course, we got the loss, and our stats took a hit from it because still trying to build those up. Of course, so if we get the losses, isn't that the whole thing these days? Check the stats.
Yeah,
you're losing the finals, but check I got a triple double. So yeah, great. So if that's the culture, let's just lean right into it. Let's not be haters now. So. that was an unfortunate run, but X did a pretty good job listening to him. It's a shame we couldn't go back in and watch the game, actually.
Yeah, that would have been good. You know, would have made for, yeah, just entertaining view. Although, I suppose we did get a couple of things done outside of the mode and all that while that was happening, so.
Oh, I mean, I processed some file additions that came through for the site, so that was something. But of course, do the run in the gym and everything.
Yeah.
So 2K18. The other thing, of course, we've been doing. We've both been playing a bit more of career mode. I got back into it this week, and my struggles with shooting have kind of carried over there. So it's trying to figure out the jump shot, and maybe I will go back to Clay Thompson 49. The Clay 49 jump shot. It was working out. Maybe I just had a bad run with it. But the current one I'm trying out is a mixture of Larry Bird and Stephen Curry. So it works sometimes. So. I also tried one that was from Dr. 2K that worked really well in the first half and then just went completely cold in the second. So, and then it's funny, I had a cutscene with Kyrie Irving talking about how my jump shot was struggling, and I'm guessing it was just random and happens whatever's happening, you know, regardless of whatever's happening. But it was just funny that it actually happened at a time that my jump shot is struggling. So that was kind of funny that actually was came along at that time. But I've played a few more games. I'm getting a lot of triple doubles. I'm starting to get the 20 assist and triple double games going now for me. So that's been good. I've been winning a bit. I don't think I've lost since the game against the Cavs. Got my Reese's Puffs box and got my Mountain Dew can. So the sweet endorsement money coming in.
Yep,
30 VC of it. It seems like there's a glitch. Well, we know the trivia's glitched in the neighborhood, and there also seems to be one now with the with the daily pick'em doesn't seem to be working properly, or seems to be a couple of days
behind. Yeah, which kind of sucks in that sense. So hopefully that's fixed, because, you know, that's a good way to earn some VC there, especially on a lot of games. Yeah.
Just putting that out there again, you know. Don't fix the things that get free VC. Just saying. But Snark aside, though, it's been a fun few games in my career, but I'm way behind you because you've gotten a lot. You've been grinding hard, and especially with this weekend being the double XP, although I haven't really felt it being doubled, but maybe I'm just not putting up the stats. Although I think I am with a triple double and 20 assists that I should be, but nevertheless. Yeah. But anyway, you're a long way ahead of me.
Yeah. Yeah, I am 5 games into my second season.
Very nice.
Went through, ended up finishing 2nd in the East, which was pretty good effort considering, I think, I was like, because we had some injury, like Whiteside was injured for a few weeks and that, and just the sheer grinding stages, you know, being lowly ranked and all that stuff, you know, it wasn't looking too good for a little bit. Trying to get wins was a bit of a struggle at times. You know, you get a big win and then you get like 3 or 4 losses in a row kind of thing. It was like,
yep,
in that early grind phase. Finished 2nd and swept my way through the playoffs in the finals. Ended up beating Houston in the finals, so that was nice.
Hmm.
And James Harden was pretty much cold for most of it, so that was pretty sim there. but it was weird. Like, played the Celtics in the first round and averaged beating them by like 40 a game. I think nearly 50 in one game. So that was easy. But Toronto were a little bit more trickier. Like, I found that they closed out the 3-point shooters and stuff like that on the wings and that pretty well. So it made it a bit of a challenge to try and get those threes up from like Shammy and all that. So not that Miami Heat team does have a lot of 3-point shooters. It is mainly Shammy that does hit them. Then pretty much steamroll through Cleveland. I think in game 3 against Houston in the finals, it was like, well, I might potentially lose this one. Like, I thought it was a bit of a struggle.
Yep.
But came through in the end, got a big win. And then I think in the final game, I won by like 50 against them.
Not the most climactic finals, basically.
No.
A bit one-sided. But then, that's the game's been out for 2 months, a little over 2 months now. So that you've been grinding pretty hardcore to get through the season. That's a pretty impressive effort. I mean, I got... When did I get through season 2 last year? I think it was about February this year, February, March, I was happy with because I'm like, oh, I'm ahead of the NBA season. But you're way ahead of the NBA season. You're into 2018. You're into late 2018 before we're even into early 2018, basically.
Yep. So
yep. You're beyond the release of NBA 2K19 at this point. So.
Yep. And it was interesting, like, when I won the championship, you know, I had the on-stage, on-court presentation stuff, but didn't hear David Stern talk. It just cut to a scene with, like, myself and Whiteside carrying, like, the Finals MVP and Larry O'Brien Trophy and that.
Yep.
And then...
So, do you mean Adam Silver, or...?
Yeah, sorry. What did I say?
Stern.
Oh, crap.
We still prefer Stern to Silver. That's probably where it's coming from, so...
So it had him and just sort of standing there and that. So that was kind of disappointing. There was no, like, felt like it lacked an element of the presentation there. I don't know if something happened or if there is that sort of thing, but yeah.
If it glitched out or whatever, yeah.
Yeah. And then it gets to the stage where, you know, it does all the attribute and XP stuff and then cut to the scene of the tunnel. But you know how it shows, like, your stats and all that stuff and shows you, like, celebrating and some. It didn't have that. I think it did show the stats, but it had like phone navigation and exit straight away. It's normal when you're normally in the locker room, sort of thing. So that was weird. So I don't know what happens between there. Strangely enough, after the game, I did go to my loft thing, and I did actually have a cutscene, and B Fresh was there. So that was the first time I've seen B Fresh in a, like, it feels like 2 months into the actual in-game season, since patch 105 came out.
The first time you've seen B Fresh in a while, it still felt rotten.
Yes.
Stale.
So that was interesting that to have happen. So it's like, well, does this mean it's fixed a few things, like in terms of me not getting the cutscenes or not?
It's a shame that the cutscenes don't record with sound. I can get it with my Elgato, of course, but I kind of want to do a YouTube series or something with just like snarky inner thoughts over the B-Fresh cutscenes. Wishy starts talking, just fades out into the, you know, the voice in the head. Like, I miss Justice.
And I did actually have another cutscene today, which was good. It was the first tunnel one that I've had, like, when, you know, you finish the game, you have interaction with Shami Wells and even, like, potentially, like, coaches and stuff. So I'm hoping that glitch that I was experiencing may be resolved. And I'm thinking what may have happened, that may have fixed it, was I sent, like, because I've also reached level 90 as well, so I'm actually able to sort of, like, do LeBron James and try and dictate the team a bit.
Yep.
You know, I alluded to, you know, try and trade for Ben Simmons and stuff like that, try and lure him in. And just as I was about to play a game against the Knicks, which was a game that I also played, I think, earlier today. I got the phone call thing. So as the game was loading, it booted me back to the neighborhood instead of actually going into the game. So when that happened, I was like, what the hell's going on? And then I realized what was happening. And then, yeah, that they couldn't get that trade done. So put through another proposal for a trade to try and bring Dwayne Wade back, because he's playing for the Clippers at the moment in my career.
That's weird.
Yeah.
Seems unlikely.
I really want to try and get rid of Justice Winslow.
Mm-hmm.
Not my favorite Justice.
No.
So
not Justice.
Yeah. He's that one player in the team that always misses when you pass it to him, and yet he'll make it when other teammates will pass to him.
That was Gallinari for me for a while last year with the Nuggets.
I want to get rid of him because he's that player for me this year, and it's like, he's costing too many points in that sense.
Not to mention those glorious assists.
Oh yeah, yeah, exactly.
The triple doubles. So,
yeah, you know, I want to try and bring up those 20-plus assist games. I've gotten close a few times. I've had, like, I had in the game I played just beforehand, I had about 18 assists. So,
my new high this year is 26, which I'm happy because that left Lonzo's 18 in the dust. So now I have the record for the season and one of the top 10 for the top 5 all time in the NBA record books there. So I don't know whether I can get the 40 assists I did last year. That was a pretty incredible game when I got the 40 assists for the Nuggets last year. Ridiculous.
Yeah.
The record books in that respect. But that was fun. I know it's a little bit tougher, especially when you do have that teammate who just, like you say, always makes it off someone else's pass and you get the pass to assist. And you're like, well, that's nice, but I've wanted the numbers. And you always pass them wide open and just clang, clang, clang every time. And you're like, oh, come on.
Just do a stupid shot. And it's like just drive into too much traffic, and it's like, really? One thing I'll bring up too, like, you know how there's in patch 105 how it was supposed to fix how players would lay it up underneath the basket or under the rim?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's still happening.
Still Porzingis, happening, yeah.
Yep, Porzingis did it in the game I played earlier today.
Wow.
And I have seen it also earlier in another game. I think Whiteside may have done it, or no, not what. I think it was Kelly Olynyk, sorry. I think it was. So I have seen it post that patch at least twice, maybe three times.
Of course, lobs aren't counting for assists again. I shouldn't say that because I am getting assists from them, but I did have one earlier today when I was playing to Lopez. Clean toss, clean catch, straight down for the flush, and it didn't count as an assist. So there must be some intermittent issue there with assists not registering, which is what, 3-4 years that's been happening now? Well, not the alley-oops in particular, but there's still issues with assists not tallying properly.
Yeah.
I thought it had fixed when I threw that alley-oop in prime. Oh, what about that alley-oop I had to Leo, the blind over the head one? That was pretty good. in prime, yeah, just going out of bounds and tossed it backwards. It kind of reminded me of that Danny Manning to Antonio McDice. Remember back in the 98 season, all those years ago?
Yeah, out
of bounds and that. So that was good, and it did count as an assist. But yeah, there's obviously some issue there. So that was frustrating. Also, the fact that you got to throw lobs to get the badge, but you need the badge to throw lobs, and even when you do get the badge, you still can't connect on them like you can last year.
Yep, I've got the silver bronze badge for Lob City Finisher, and I can make most of them in my career. But when it comes to Pro-Am, we're just not connecting. Well, we've connected more before I even got that badge.
Yeah. Once again, it's like a random situation where the ratings and the badges supposedly matter, but then don't. So, don't know what's going on with that. But
Also, since then too, we should bring up that I've incorporated I've added the alley-oop dunk packages to my player, and I've added contact dunks and a few other dunk packages in now. So I've It shouldn't be because of anything that I haven't got anything unequipped in that sense, because it's all there.
And the angles aren't tough, and they're not.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can try some different angles, but it's frustrating the way it's not working. Really simple lobs don't seem to be going at all. It's really strange.
It's weird because Whiteside and I can lob each other like I'll lob him up one, he'll lob me up one in game, and that quite a few times. I think I got a pretty nice one from Winslow today, I think, for a reverse alley-oop dunk. So that was pretty nice and quite surprising when it happened, because I didn't call for it. He just lobbed it, and I was like, okay. So that was good. I'm trying to think what else has happened in terms of some of my T-shirts are in process of getting approved. They've reached the 100 votes minimum to get a pending approval and all that stuff. So there could be three shirts. One in particular that I'm really kind of keen to see how it turns out. Funny.
And we might even be able to get them for free, because it seems to be zero VC at the moment at the kiosk.
Yeah, which is cool. So definitely saves a lot of people a lot of money, because 3,500 VC was ridiculous.
Ridiculous for the custom T-shirts here. So I wonder if they have nerfed that, or whether it's just a promotion at the moment. But I hope it's still running when those shirts hopefully get approved as well, so we can just grab the two of them as soon as possible, or the three of them as soon as possible.
That reminds me. Okay, so when I won the championship, and you're on stage, you got the championship T-shirt on, and when you go through the conference finals, and you got a T-shirt there, and it was I came back to my my court again, which also that triggered that cutscene with B-Fresh and all that stuff. And I was after that scene happened, I went to the closet thing and said, "Oh, I wonder if you get the shirt." Turns out, not technically, you don't get the shirt. You actually have to buy it from the NBA store,
of course.
And that's 2,000 VC. Yeah. And because I've reached level 90, you unlock your own personalized jersey and that at the NBA store as well.
Yeah.
But that's 10,000 VC.
that's insane. I went and looked at some of the celebration animations today, because I thought, after I'd upgraded, I had a bit of VC left. And I thought, I'll just see if there's anything I can get. Everything is 1,000 VC. At least 1,000 VC, every animation you can get. And that's assuming you can unlock it with the overall rating as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and of course you've got D'Angelo Russell, 93. You need to be 93 overall to get D'Angelo Russell, his Ice in My Veins.
Yep, yep.
And he's not even rated anywhere near 93 overall himself. That's ridiculous. We've talked about VC gouging before and the ridiculous prices, but it just goes to show, again, that you don't even get that kind of free stuff. You couldn't even get your own jersey or a championship T-shirt after winning it,
exactly.
Which any NBA player easily could.
Given the fact that you were wearing one just moments earlier.
Just imagine that after the game. Okay, everybody take the shirts off, go to get them back, and just... No, don't get champagne on it. We're going to try and sell these. So, straight to Swags, or the NBA store, I should say. Yeah, that is a shame. But again, whether they're going to do anything about that in the future or this year remains to be seen. I'm not holding my breath, especially after the microtransactions being up 57%. That's not boding well for anything, sadly. But no, congratulations on the championship. That's awesome that you've gotten that far this quickly. And the first of us to reach 90 overall, which means you can bike around the neighborhood now.
Yeah, yeah. It's a little bit quicker than running around. And especially, you know, if you're doing that LeVar run, it's all twice as fast as that easy. So.
Oh, by the way, there's big Baller Brand shirts in the T-shirt kiosk. And even with the zero VC, I'm still abstaining from buying them.
Yeah, same.
It was funny when you tried to ride the bike into the gym, though. Just
yeah. Because, yeah, that's right. You were doing the box jump at the time. Yeah. And you just hit this imaginary wall right at the door. It's like, aww. It's like, don't mind me, folks.
Just some jerk riding into the gym on a bike and riding around and out the door again. It just.
I wanted to try and get on the treadmill with it. That'd be hilarious. That'll be a way to cheat the treadmill.
Yeah, that's a YouTube video waiting to happen. Someone on a bike on a treadmill. Okay, I'm gonna have to look that up after we finish recording. That's got to have been done before. But
yeah, I think it has been done. Yeah,
that would be quite a sight. that there's a PlayStation trophy if ever you've got one. You know, get bike and gym right on treadmill. There's a trophy called "What Are You Doing?" or something.
A bike and hike.
A million views on YouTube.
Yeah.
So apart from
how lazy of a professional athlete, virtual athlete can you be?
Yeah. So apart from NBA 2K18, also been spending a bit of time with NBA Live 18 this week, as we are this year. You know, the game, as we said, has been getting better through release, and it's been a pretty strong release for Live 18, really, in many respects, which has been great to see. We want to see it get even better with Live 19, but Live 18 is proving to be fun as well. In fact, I played a full game, Ben, a full 12-minute game of just a play now game, which I don't usually do. I usually do something like Ultimate Team or just a mode. I don't play a lot of exhibition games just for the hell of it. But I did want to play it just to see how it's playing with the latest rosters and everything. So I took control of the Timberwolves and their wonderful jersey against the Hornets. You'd think that I would take the Hornets because I do like the Hornets jerseys, not just the throwback, but also the current ones. But I'll go with the Timberwolves because they're basically the Timber Bulls at the moment with Thibodeau and Butler and Gibson and everyone. And it ended up winning pretty big. And one of the reasons is because the CPU still doesn't take a lot of threes. Like it still wants to drive on every possession. And that is, I think, the biggest thing moving forward that they have to do with the gameplay. I mean, yes, still want to see better animations and controls become tighter and everything and all that stuff and passes improved. And again, animation quality, as I said. But getting that NBA strategy and players not just looking to drive every time and scoring inside, there's way too many inside shots. Field goal percent is not unrealistic, but the way the game plays is not really NBA basketball. I would love to see it become a bit more sim in that regard. Yep. Certainly, Kemba Walker should not be... You know, he's explosive, but he should not be driving. He should not be scoring most of his points on layups at the hoop, basically. He should be pulling up. And if you do back off, they do take some shots, but the fact that they can and will drive so often is definitely not sim, especially when you're playing a team like the Warriors and you've got Curry going to the hoop all the time, which he can do, but you know he also takes 10 threes a game, and you're lucky if the opponent takes 10 threes as a team, the CPU. So they definitely need to fix that up. Shot distribution is pretty good. All that being said, though, it was a fun back-and-forth game for a while until I started hitting some threes. And that's the other thing. If you hit some threes, you can really put distance out because then the CPU doesn't hit threes. So that's the killer. Or it doesn't take it. They were 1 of 11. And I think I was looking at the stats. Every team in the league takes at least 18 to 20 threes a game these days. Yep. So I was looking at that. You know, the Rockets taking an obscene amount of threes, actually, this year. I may have been looking at the wrong number, but so it is something they need to fix up. The amount of inside shots and everything. Fouls, there's also not really enough fouls and contact in the paint as well. You finish a little bit too easily there. So which contributes again to the amount of layups. But apart from that, though, I had a really fun time with the game and playing with the Timberwolves. I just had some really great. Really great dunks and facial dunks and ones with both Karl-Anthony Towns and Andrew Wiggins, which, I ended up because I wanted to start doing some video mixes and other video features, and so I'm always capturing clips just so that I can, so I've got them on hand to do some more video features for the site. And I found myself, I think about 19 videos I took from the one game, basically.
Nice.
admittedly, some of them are the original play and the instant replay, with the R3 replay, and then I've gone into instant replay and like I've got some extra footage, just some alternate takes, some different angles and things like that. So some of them are doubles, but I end up getting a lot of highlights from the one game, that have some dunks and threes, and another such a big block by Dieng was pretty good on a dunk attempt. So there's genuine moments in Live 18 where, you know, yes, if you can put aside the you know, there's too many inside shots and it's not the NBA strategy that I'd like to see, you know, I want to see a bit more realism there. That's just me as a sim head. But you put that aside, you know, it is, there's the fun back and forth, and you see something happen. You see a, you know, there's a lot more animations this year that look good for a start compared to Super Mario 14 to 16. And you get some really good, you know, get out on the break and you rise up over somebody for this huge facial dunk. And like, that looked pretty good, and it pumps you up. You know, there's a lot of times playing Live 18 where I'm like, yeah, you know, it's not as realistic as I want it to be, but I'm still having a lot of fun with this.
Yeah.
And it's kind of contrasted 2K18 sometimes, where I'm like, well, this isn't as realistic as I want, and I'm not necessarily enjoying it as much, you know?
Yeah.
So it's some of the fun factor has not been there in 2K18, again, because it kind of felt like a grind. But certainly, I was really enjoying it. And it kind of made me think, well, I really wish the franchise mode in Live 18 was deeper, because I want to play lots of games with this, meaningful games. Now, I'll probably end up playing more Ultimate Team, if anything, because a franchise just doesn't have the experience, and I'll see what I can do with my league this year. Cause I do like the 5v5 in NBA 2K18, as I've said before. But the five, you know, just the regular NBA gameplay in Live 18, while there is the room for improvement there from the sim aspect, it's a lot of fun. You know, I had a lot of fun with that game, and maybe, you know, it's why it's worth doing the Play Now games from time to time, and certainly with the WNBAs, you know how fun that can be as well this year, since they've added that. But So it's allowed me to put together some more feedback that I'll be sending along to the people that we know at EA, who are always asking us for the feedback. So I'm putting that together of, you know, what I want to see as far as that 5-on-5 gameplay is concerned, or, you know, the traditional non-play lock gameplay, of course. But even as it is, it was a very fun game to play.
Yeah, I have felt the same way when I decided to play a lot of Prime Live Circuit, where, you know, you're going around playing in like Prime tournaments and stuff like that throughout the league against the NBA players and stuff. Did the first one in that, through the Chosen League one. Got all through all the games, and I had to do a rematch of the final because I just lost the first time I played around. But I had so much fun playing it. It was like, oh, this is awesome. And had some nice highlight plays. And yeah, I was the same boat as you, like capturing all these plays and getting the replays and all that stuff with it. I actually saved all the entire gameplay because I missed, like when I played the first game, I was just capturing a few plays here and there. And I was like, well, because I'm enjoying this so much, let's just capture the entire game, because it's only like about 10 minutes or less than 10 minutes for each game, roughly.
So why not
capture it all and put it online, which I end up doing for the, I think it's quarterfinals, semifinals, finals and finals rematch.
I haven't had a chance to check out the video you uploaded yet. What camera angle are you using again for the one and Pro Am?
I was trying the what's it called again? It's like a baseline high or player.
So there's baseline low, baseline high, and there's player lock.
I think it was player lock. I think I tried that one.
Because player lock, it's kind of on an angle. It's baseline, but it's kind of an angle that that wanders back and forth. I gave that a try, and I'm still not a big fan of that one. I still feel like the visibility in live camera angles for the player lock could be better.
Yeah, and, there's a few moments where it can be a little bit jarring. On the defense side, like you kind of lose where you are for a moment.
It's worse defensively, absolutely. Like it's, and if you're off ball, and especially defensively, it's it's a bit hard. It doesn't really focus on you. It focuses on the ball too much, yeah. I think. It's a bit zoomed in a little bit.
Yeah.
I think, I really loved the turbo angle in 2K17 last year. If both games could have that angle, but neither of them do this year. None of them have an angle quite like it. And it's, come on, I love that angle. But it was it was one that kind of followed you. It followed you around, always behind you, no matter where you were on the floor. I really liked that angle in 2K17. Although in the park I played on the sideline as I do this year as well. But I've tried baseline in 2K. I think I'm just playing 2K cam in 2K18 at the moment for player lock. For 5-on-5, I always like broadcast camera. And same for Live 18. Broadcast cam for controlling all players.
Yep.
But yeah, still trying to find an angle that I really like for the one and Pro Am Tour.
I mean, for me, the most part, on offense and all that stuff, the player lock one is awesome. It just that those few little moments where you can be jarring or just where you lose yourself in terms of defense, that's when it's weakest part is the baseline high one. It doesn't like those corner wing, like corner threes and all that stuff. You can lose your guy there because the camera doesn't show. So if they can zoom that out. They could zoom that one out a lot more. I'd be using that, like when it comes to that sort of half court sort of play.
It just feels a bit too close.
Yeah. Or if there's a slight pan, but without it, again, sort of feeling too disorientating.
Bit jarring.
Yeah, we can see the baseline corners that you're at. That'd be great. Other things that I've been doing in that mode, or in the game, tried the 3-on-3, like I said, had one decent game out of that. A couple of the other games where it was, your teammates weren't really teammates at all. And then obviously doing some of the live run events with the Bathing Ape stuff. One on a few of the things, but it's not really my apparel style, so I'm not really equipping them. So,
I'm kind of more interested in just getting on and having a fun run than really getting than the gear itself. But as we alluded to earlier, it's a lot more fun when you're actually playing playing with friends, basically, because again, you get some randoms, they just freeze you out of the play, you're trying to play team ball and you're doing the passing to them, and you don't see the ball again for the rest of the game when they do finally pass to you. It's a bit frustrating then, but it's good to get on and have a run.
I was playing a lot of that. I was playing on Live 18 this week, which was really good. I was really happy with the amount of play, and it felt good and everything. So I'll be playing a lot more this week as well. That'll be the goal.
I'm trying to divide the time. I spend a bit more with 2K18 over the weekend because of the double XP, which hasn't really felt like it's really doubled that much, to be honest. But again, just to of course, Pro-Am, you have a couple of sessions of that takes up the time, but no, I've been having fun with both games, despite having complaints about both, or constructive criticism, I guess I would frame it as, which is what you want. I mean, you've spent the money on the games, and 2K spent a bit of extra money with the microtransactions as well, especially with Live, wanting to find something that I can really sink my teeth into. And I think it will be Ultimate Team just because there's more challenges and everything. I'd love to do Franchise, but I just don't like what they've done with it this year. So, which is disappointing. So I'll have to go back to try my league. I think I still want to do a start today, I think, just to get into the season. But I just don't know who to play with. But, having played with the Timberwolves, I might see how they play in 2K as well because they were quite a fun team to play with.
I can see that. They got a lot of that sort of young talent that's obviously starting to really start to shine.
Well, of course, they made some big acquisitions in the off season as well. And indeed, we'll be talking about the NBA shortly, and they are 11-8 so far. They're fifth in the West at the moment, so they are improved this year, no doubt about that.
Oh yeah.
So I think that's pretty much all we have for this week in basketball gaming. Anything? Any other stories? I think I've pretty much covered the jump shot. That's something that's going to be ongoing. And like I say, I want to start that thread in the forum to see if we can work out some of our own gameplay tips and jump shots to create. But it's knowing that about the you know, not to harp on it again, but going back to the situation with the shooting mechanics and knowing that, it's a bit disheartening, to be honest.
Oh, yeah, you know, and, you know, I was looking at trying to edit my jump shot, and not that my player is more really designed to take jump shots, but yeah, I can see as a weakness in terms of it not, you know, yeah, a weakness in that something that shouldn't be so imbalanced or have this weird sort of condition to it, I guess.
Yeah, it's the RNG aspect to it, that you're doing everything right but still getting screwed over in the name of balance, but it's false balance, really. It's false balance, false difficulty that's affecting the game. But nevertheless, we'll try and find that perfect jump shot, more or less, and see how we go in Pro-Am.
Yeah, for sure. I'm looking forward to it. Especially, yeah, with all the new contact dunks and stuff and dunk patches that I got now, so...
We can actually get an alley-oop to work, be even better.
Yep.
And then if we get it to work, do I still get an assist for it? That's the thing now, you know, so... one thing after another. But nevertheless, we will keep playing forward and playing the games and certainly trying to stick to what we enjoy about the games. Not to say that we won't criticize, but, you know, if you don't want to torture yourself with the games, you want to actually enjoy them, so we will seek out the experiences that we enjoy the most. And, of course, keep talking about it in the forum and on the podcast. But before we wrap up this week's podcast, thought we'd just touch on the NBA, as we always do, because we obviously follow along with the real NBA as well as playing on the virtual hardwood. But, yeah, as we said earlier in the show, we kind of jinxed the Celtics. We mentioned the streak and how well they were playing, and... was it your Heat was the one who did break the streak, I believe?
Yep. Finally broke the team to break the streak, so I was really happy with that, obviously. And it was a pretty good win as well.
16 games in a row, which is after that first game where they lost the first two and, of course, lost Haywood for what appears to be the season, up with that very gruesome leg injury that he sustained 6 minutes into the very first game of the season, which, watching that live, I... That was nasty. That one of the nasty things I've seen on the NBA court in a while. But they are still atop not only the East but the league at 18-3. They've won the last two, bouncing back from that loss. Pistons 12-6. Cavs have come back 12-7. So they've won seven in a row. I believe that is the longest streak in the league at the moment. It is, yes, seven in a row for the Cavs. Yeah. So they've come roaring back, and LeBron having some clutch performances. To match Kyrie's clutch performances, I think Kyrie's still without a turnover, possibly, or maybe before that Heat game anyway. But he's been playing very well in the clutch. And the Raptors, who, as you noted, gave you a little bit of trouble on the virtual hardwood, 12-7 as well. So the East actually has 10 teams at 500 or better, including the Knicks.
Yeah, which is a massive surprise.
We didn't see that coming.
Oh, yeah. Yet. No. Well... I admit, like, the game that I played against the Knicks earlier today, that was a tough one, considering I was blowing out teams, like, 75 points.
I had a close call against them as well. But you know, everyone's talking about the, you know, the East being the weaker conference, and traditionally it has been.
Yep.
But, it is funny that so far there's 10 teams over 500 in the East, and only 7 in the West. If you look at the records, actually, yeah. it's a lot of parity, really, this year. I mean, the West has got the Rockets and the Warriors, the both of whom are 15-4, 15-5, so they're above 70%, whereas in the East, there's only the Celtics above 70, have won more than 70% of their games this year. But apart from that, it's pretty competitive all around.
Yeah. Your Bulls are finally tanking properly now?
Yep, 4 in a row. They've lost, yep, so yeah. they've dropped below the Hawks, you know, so they've... They're actually tanking properly. Mavericks 5-15. They are the worst in the league. Fantastic. The only thing that, you know, concerns me about this is that Garpax will then trade the top pick for something crap. You know, like they'll win the lottery, but still manage to screw up. They'll either take, you know, a Kwame Brown or a Michael Olowokandi kind of player. It's a complete bust. Or you know, certainly not a number one pick, shall we say? Or they'll trade it away, plus their top pick for the next 5 years or something. I just have no trust in them at all. Although I will say that Markkanen has been pretty good.
Yeah, I think he's been the shining light in the team.
Definitely a lone bright spot, absolutely.
Yep.
But 3-14, yeah, that's more, you know. Yeah, they're actually learning how to tank properly. It's going to be a rough season for them. But that Blakeney had some pretty good dunks against the Lakers the other day. And then, of course, the Warriors just smashed them completely. No surprise there. We were talking about it when we were playing Pro-Am the other night, and Leo said, what do you think the score is going to be? And I said 120-65. And it turned out to be 143-94, which was closer to what Leo said. So close to a 50-point loss for a start. Yep. Close enough. And I thought the Warriors might score this. I thought they might just blow them out through three quarters and then just rest the starters. But they just demolished them with the shooting. No surprises there, especially against this Bulls team. But yeah, that was a bad loss. But the Thunder actually took down the Warriors the other day in a game which got a bit testy with Durant and Westbrook.
That was actually a good day. Lakers lost. Alonzo had a pretty bad. I mean, he kind of stepped up a little bit later, but he didn't play well. Ben Simmons had an awesome game. I think, was that the day the Heat won as well? Yeah, that was the day the Heat won as well.
Mm.
So that was a good day for me personally, watching all that happen. So
Well, the Thunder got a bit of retribution in that one, and of course, Warriors fans didn't even let them have that one. It's like, well, you know what? Come on, it's just
And you know, Durant's words to Westbrook, well,
the fake tough guy stuff. It's
Like, for me, the whole thing was like, but he was the one that left the team.
Yeah.
He was, yeah, and he,
You're calling out him as a coward or, you know, in not so many words.
In an insulting term, it was like, he's the one that left it. I was like, Durant, you're an idiot. I'm sorry, but you are.
And, yeah, so that was kind of fun to see them get their retribution in that respect. Speaking of the 76ers, they're 11-7. They've won three in a row, so they're above 500. Yeah. They're fifth in the East, 61% winning. And like you say, Simmons having the great run, the great rookie year. You know, probably an All Star and certainly Rookie of the Year front runner at this point.
Oh, for sure. He did rest today due to an elbow, but you know they still beat Orlando by like 19 points or something. So yeah, it was good effort for them, and you know they're having a great year. And yeah, just watching Simmons play, the control, poise that he has, and focus, and that he's going to be phenomenal to watch over the next few years. Even like I think a stat from the other day was that he was only 9 of 27 field goals. 9 from 27 outside of the key.
Mm. So that's where he's got to get better there with a developer shot.
Yeah, but
he's getting to the rack pretty well. So.
Oh yeah, and like I said, he's doing it so easy. Like it's just astounding. Like it's effortless, which is good.
And kind of having that all around game, and it's it is great to have an Aussie superstar basically.
Yeah,
in the league finally, because it's we've had Bogut had a pretty good run through his prime, and obviously Mills is very solid and longly won championships with the Bulls, but all of the best players we've kind of had, even the NBL legends, they've had that short run because it was that time when you international players weren't really getting a shot, especially if they hadn't come through the US system, through the college system or anything like that, or if they you know, and obviously, if you're used to playing 40 minutes and being a star in another league, as players like Gaze and Heal were back in the day, you know, it's a lot to try and work your way up. As you're already an established veteran in another country, to come in and only be getting a few minutes, and you're already, you know, late 20s, early 30s, you want to be, you know, you're in your prime, you want to actually be getting those minutes now. It's tough, you know, and it's a shame that. I guess they came along. It was before their time, as far as getting the international players in the NBA and really having a shot.
Yeah, for sure.
But it's great to see.
Yep.
Less great to see, of course, is Derrick Rose. What's happening with him at the moment?
Hmm.
And it's he's taking a leave of absence from the Cavs right now, seemingly to get his head in order. The injuries not only have taken a physical but a mental toll, understandably. And it's sounding like his heart's not really in basketball at the moment. It's just with all the injuries and setbacks, it's kind of a bit out of it at the moment, from the sounds of it.
Yeah, which is
or over it, I guess, whichever way you want to put it.
Yeah, I think it's just sort of the whole frustration of all the little setbacks in that sense. I mean, I can understand, you know, you sort of, every attempt you have to try and, you know, you give the time for your body to heal, and it's just not panning out. There's an interesting thing, like, obviously with his contract with Adidas as well, this, if he does make the decision to retire, because due to the constant injuries and stuff, he could actually lose $80 million from his Adidas contract.
Yeah, so he'd be walking away from a lot. Not just, yeah. I mean, he's on a veteran minimum at the moment from the NBA. The Cavs took a low risk deal on him, so it's not a big deal for them. Obviously, a bit of a disappointment because he was playing pretty well, actually. You know, yeah. He's still got a bit of that old fire, but of course, a couple more nagging injuries this year, the ankle, rolling the ankle and everything. But yeah, it is obviously a lot of money to leave on the table. But at the same time, he's probably earned a bit from the big contract he signed with the Bulls before then ultimately was injured, unfortunately. But yeah, that is a lot of money to walk away from and leave on the table, though, no doubt.
Yeah, yeah.
But at the same time, if the drive isn't there to stick around, you know, does he work out some of the deal with him where he becomes an ambassador for them and does camps or things like that? Or, you know, does he just take some time off for the rest of the season? Does he just need to go to a sports psychologist, get his head back in order, or deal with these, you know, these feelings, these personal issues that he's having, that's recapture that passion for the game? Because obviously, you know, he was a great competitor before all these injuries and was driven and even was making the concerted effort to come back from his injuries. So I don't think you can say that he hasn't been driven in the past. It's just gotten to the point where I think he's feeling, well, I'm going through this grind and I just keep having this terrible luck and my body's breaking down and I'm, you know, only, he's what, October 88, he was born. So he's 30 next year, he's not even 30 yet and he's already having all these problems. You know, maybe he's deciding, well, I've fulfilled my dream. I've achieved a couple of things.
He's got, you know, he's won an MVP. So, you know, it's not like
he hasn't had it. In history, for that matter. You know, is it getting to the point where he's thinking, well, you know what? It is. You know, I certainly need to take some time away. You remember Larry Sanders, of course, took some time off from basketball. Mate, tried to make the comeback last year, and I think still in the mix out there, but. But yeah, I mean, obviously, if your head's not in the game, so to speak, it's you can't give that dedication as a professional, which he obviously needs, and what the team expects of him, and what he expects of himself. But if it's hard for him to muster that enthusiasm with all the injuries, maybe it is time to step away. If nothing else, step away for a little while and get this sorted out, which is what he's doing. The Cavs seem to expect him to be back, but yeah, it's definitely not been an easy few years for Derrick Rose after a very promising start to his career. Sadly.
Yeah, sure.
You know, it just goes to show that it's not just the physical side of things. He still has that explosiveness sometimes, and he's even gotten up and thrown down a couple of decent dunks in recent years. You know, we had a really big one for the Knicks, playing for the Knicks last year. You know, it just it's the mental fatigue, the toll that it's taken on him to adjust to that role and not being able to do the things he used to, and having to deal with all these setbacks, and it's unfortunate. But if he wants to step away or feels he needs to, that's probably the wisest course of action.
Yeah, I mean, if you constantly feel like he's just like burning himself out in that sort of sense, and yeah, like not just physically but mentally, with, you know, going through all these rehab phases after all the injuries and stuff like that. Yeah, the mental toll on that, you know, it's not just about physical health; it's about mental health as well. So
absolutely.
Yeah.
So we will see, and best of luck to Rose. You know, obviously one of my favorite players in recent years, and it's you know, still wish him well, and it's a shame things didn't work out with the Bulls, and just that. I still remember coming home from town actually after a night out with my friends and reading the results, and the Bulls had won game one, but Derrick Rose had suffered that terrible injury, and that was the moment in 2012, and it's going on over 5 years now, and it's with all the setbacks, it's just a real shame. You know, and you think back to someone like Grant Hill, who had a pretty good career at the end of the day, but could have been, you know, really one of the all-time greats if he'd continued that trajectory of his. And I'm not saying Derrick Rose was on that level, because Hill was a great player for that first 6 or 7 years of his career, before where he broke his foot and had all those problems with his foot and ankle. But yeah, you know, again, any time a career is compromised and derailed like that, and Penny Hardaway is another one, obviously.
Yep.
You know, what they could have been, and it's a shame. And you hope, obviously, that if he that if he does step away from the game, that he can find peace with that decision and be happy as we all deserve to be. But yeah, it's just a it's I mean, you've got your tragedies like your Len Bias and Reggie Lewis and Drazen Petrovic and all that, and that's a whole other level. But just yeah, it is. It's a shame. Those what ifs, you know, they're interesting, but at the same time, very unfortunate. And again, not to compare it to the young men who have lost their lives, because that's again a whole other level of tragedy when that happens. But just having these talented players that you enjoy watching and obviously passionate about the game, to lose that passion and just have their careers derailed by the injuries, it's very unfortunate.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I know I've made light of the whole sort of meme phase of it, of his injury thing, injury his career, but it's still disheartening to sort of see that, you know, that it has come to such a point where he has to pack it up before he even turns 30.
Yeah, absolutely. It could be a very real possibility, but it's, and you know what, that's the thing. I mean, a lot of people made light of that, and hey, that's, you can't get too precious about that kind of stuff, but it's when people complain about people making fun of like the 3-1, you know, Warriors Bulls 3-1 lead and all that kind of stuff. It's like I say, as a Bulls fan, you know, people made fun of Rose for a lot of years. You can suck this up a little longer. You can weather these jokes a little longer, people. It's
yeah.
how much crap we've had to put up with as Bulls and Rose fans. Yeah, suck it up. But just to finish on a slightly happier note, did you see the whole situation with or an interesting note, I should say. Kind of more positive, I suppose. The NCAA game, the University of Alabama taking on Minnesota and had to finish the game 3-on-5.
Oh, no, I didn't.
So what happened basically is, due to a combination of an altercation, injury, and players fouling out, they were actually left with three players taking 3-on-5.
Oh, wow.
And and they finished the game on a pretty good run, like a 30-21 run. They only lost by 5. They almost one with the three players playing zone. It's clips have been posted in the forum. It's quite an impressive effort, but yeah, it's not often you see that situation play out in basketball, the 3-on-5, and I believe it can't happen in the NBA. I think you have to have they bring the technical fouls obviously assessed when it happens, but that you're allowed to bring in players who are being disqualified from to back into the game in the NBA, so they can never be less than 5-on-5. But it ended up 3-on-5.
I think our club version, I think that's happened, like, where I have fouled out because someone else had fouled out on our team and that I was allowed back in.
Yeah, the last one, the first one to foul out, they had to be the first one to come back in, kind of thing.
Yeah. I think that,
or the other
really
way around, might be the other way around in the NBA. But yeah, it is obviously contingency plans for that. But with everything that happened in this game, the Crimson Tide finished the game 3-on-5. So you don't see that every day.
Yeah.
So that has brought us to the end of episode number 229 of the NLSC podcast. We hope you enjoyed it. As always, if you did, we encourage you to listen each and every week. Tune in on the NLSC, or you can catch us through iTunes as well as the... we're not on Spotify. We're the Stitcher app, not Spotify. Yep, Stitcher. I've been listening to Spotify recently, so that was the first one that came to mind. You can forget us on iTunes or Stitcher. Just search on Stitcher for NLSC Podcast. Look for our logo. That'll be us. Or hey, like I said, keep streaming on the NLSC itself. As we always say, as long as you're tuning in and enjoying us talk about our favorite subjects, basketball and basketball video games, that's the main thing. You can also connect with us on social media. We're on Twitter at the NLSC. We're on Facebook, facebook.com/NLSC. We're on Instagram. Want to start posting a bit more on there? That's NLSC Basketball. And of course, the NLSC itself, NBA-Live.com, for all your basketball gaming needs. So that is all for this week. Until next time, I'm Andrew.
I'm Arcade.
And we're out like so many of my 3-point attempts in Pro-Am.